I'm so thankful for that, the words of that last hymn where we sang, "This is our Father's world." As we see the world around us with the incredible media we've got, it can be really discouraging because it isn't yet under his control in terms of what's going on. I don't mean he doesn't have sovereign control. That sounds bad because I don't agree with that theology. What I do agree with is that our God is in control, but he has chosen to allow evil forces to continue until it's his time to step in. And he's going to do it. It's our Father's world. He ultimately will reign. Our Lord Jesus will be put in charge by God Jehovah. But in the meantime, we have the challenge of valuing what he values. I think I do. But there are times in which it just doesn't come out that way. There are times I don't look like that. But by the grace of God, we can demonstrate to the world around us Jesus, God's Son, Redeemer, Friend, Savior, and soon coming Lord. He's coming back. And that's wonderful. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today. But I just wanted to express that. Someone, as we were together, expressed the fact that tough times are coming. We don't know the what and when for sure, but we know that ultimately our God will control. He is in charge. And he does micromanage. I've got a brother in Christ that says, "I'm not sure I understand that, of God being intimately interested in controlling details in my life." Yet he knows that it's true. But it's by the grace of God that we live and move and have our being. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the truth as it is in your Son. We thank you for giving that ultimate gift, that ultimate sacrifice, your only begotten Son, Jesus, that he could pay the penalty for our guilt. He could do the one, he is the one now. But it was God's perspective that said, "It is time. It is time." Thank you that you have complete control. And so now we look to you to help and guide us as we open your word and ask your special blessing on it to each one of us and where we are. Because only you, by your Spirit, can provide that, regardless of how loud or quiet the words are, or how powerful the rhetoric, unless it comes from you, in your time and way, it will not be effective. We pray for effectiveness of this. Thank you, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a note to myself that says, read Hebrews 4 and some verses there. Well, I'm not supposed to talk about Hebrews 4, but I'm going to for a bit. But now I have to say where I want to read to start with is in John's Gospel, the first chapter, because, you know, how do we get to know what and who and where and time and so forth for eternity as well as time? We get it from the Word of God. We're blessed with having this God speak in our language. We think of what John and Jen are setting forward to do. And here's the people that have been saying, we see the effects of this God speak. Come, teach us. So we can continue to pray and support for them as they do that, but there's many other works. But let's read a few verses here in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that did come into being. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand it, didn't comprehend it. Now, move down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, there are many witnesses to this, and we're blessed, as I say, to have the printed canon of Scripture. And I confess, too, that when I stand and speak, it's with a realization of how little I grasp of God's mind from this blessed book, from the Word. But it is in the Lord Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among us, is that Word. He's the creator source. And let's recognize, as was mentioned somewhere along the way this morning, that the Father God, God the Son, God the Spirit, we wouldn't have the ability to perceive what's in here for us from God were it not for his indwelling Spirit. By his grace, we can grasp some of these things. Now to move over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 is where I want to start. As I said, my assignment today is chapter 5. So why don't I start there? It's because there's a background to what is being taught by our Lord here in Hebrews 5. And let's bear in mind that it is through God's Word that we have some idea of who he is and of the incredible work that he has done on behalf of the human race. See, it's that whosoever will may come. It's not limited to a particular race or class. It's whosoever will. I want to read a few verses here, starting in chapter 4 of Hebrews. Because of the connection that we have, Dave set a stage here that I don't think I'm qualified to stand on, so it's I'm not going to be able to pick up much of what he gave us. I'm just so thankful for his good preparation and for the work of the Spirit in his heart, so that I got something really good last week, and I hope all of you did.
Amen.
So, chapter 4, verse 9, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest, Christ's rest, has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. We've had the review of the fact that God did consider complete the work of the creation. And so he didn't have to continue that. I think that was the kind of definition that we got there for works. It is finished is the kind of thing that only the Lord Jesus could express when he did at the cross, when he said, I've now paid your debts. I've now paid the debt of sin. God doesn't hold you responsible for your sin. We are responsible before God for some of our actions. But that's different. when we're talking about the relationship that we have to God in Christ, it's all his work. It's done. But the redeeming work completed. We're going to cover some of that, which has to do with the fact that even though the Lord Jesus completed the work of his sacrifice and therefore for our lives eternally, but he has gone forward, not forward, upward. He's in the glory. He's at the right hand of the Father to do what? Ever lives to make intercession for you, for me. Praise God. He has done it all. But he is continuing to be our intercessor. How desperately we need an intercessor. So anyway, that is by way of introducing the fact that God did rest from the work of creation. Jesus rested in the work of redemption. And we can have rest today because we're not having to carry around the burden that says, I've got to do stuff to be saved. Jesus did that. What I need to do is to represent the Lord Jesus. A little later on here, we'll come to this point where we're exhorted to hold fast to our confession. That has to do with our actions of representing the Lord Jesus to people around us. What a blessing it is when you can do that, whether it's as you have a walk and find someone in great need and to be able to minister Christ to such a person. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is if the Lord Jesus uses you to touch another heart. That's one of the ways of holding fast our confession. It's holding fast to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to go ahead here. I'm going to take too long, use all of my time on these preliminaries, which are not just preliminaries. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. It was part of what Dave gave us. And it's the rest that we can have because of the rest that Jesus has. So that no one will fall, through following the same example of disobedience. That's referring back to the children of Israel who, because of fear of giants and so forth, didn't go into the land when they could have. And almost all of those of responsible age died. Two didn't. Before and didn't get into the land. Their bodies were buried there in the desert. They made a choice of fear, a choice of following what a natural man would say. What they wanted to do was very sensible. We need to keep in mind, that's logical. But it wasn't God's way. God's way was to believe him and to move forward into a land that he had promised. For fear, we hold back, and that's tragic. So we wouldn't want to fall in the same way, which is disobedience. The Word of God is living and active. That's partly why I read those verses in John chapter 1. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit and of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It seemed like I misread something there. I don't think it was critical, but I'm going to move ahead and you can read it correctly. And there was no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Praise God. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, not just one who is in the Aaronic line to be a priest under the Mosaic law, we have a great high priest. He is Jesus. He's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, let us hold fast to our confession of faith, our representation of the Lord Jesus, Son of God, and coming ruler of this world, and still in charge of our lives. Praise God. For we have not a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested and tempted in all things which we are without sin. He did not sin. Therefore, let us draw near. This is the verse that I'd like for us to really contemplate. Let us draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Excuse me. I confess, I don't spend the hours in prayer that many warriors of the gospel has done. There are stories that abound about ones like Judson. There are those who have gotten up early, a couple of hours early, to spend time in the presence of God. Instead, sadly enough, I survive on a starvation diet. I hope you don't. It is so needed to have that communion, not just for me, but it's for the ones I love and for the ones that God loves, for each one of us here. I've had the privilege of praying for you folks, and I just trust that you are praying for me. So then, even though it's a little preemptory, I'm just going to go ahead and read a few verses here in the first of Hebrews 5. Because it flows forward, just to pick up a couple of lines from chapter 4, verse 16, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men, here the Lord steps back from talking about himself and his office. I'm saying it's the Lord because we don't know who wrote this book. And yet there's much testimony that we can see that points to one person or another. But thank God, it squares with the rest of Scripture. So every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. This is the human person. This is the Aaronic line. It was a human being who, like you and me, not only is tempted, but we fail in meeting that temptation. We give in. And it's by the grace of God that we can count on the sureness of the salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, it's because he's obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself. That was the Aaronic priesthood. They could shuffle around and walk piously in their robes. They could even go into the temple. They could offer sacrifices there when it existed. But they couldn't say, oh, well, that applies to you, but not to me. What does it say? So also for himself. He had to do that. No one takes this honor to himself. It has to be appointed, called of God, just like Aaron was. Well, none of us are called to be high priests. But in a sense, we're all called to enter into a service of love and of care for one another. Yes, for the world. God so loved the world. I don't love the whole world. I can't claim that, but he did. And it's not a joke. But he gave his son, his only begotten son. And it's by his grace that we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So also, Christ did not glorify himself so as to become high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son," and this is from the Psalms, "Today I have begotten you." God glorified Jesus and set up the entire amazing grace of God on our behalf because of the blood of Jesus. We had before us this morning the bread and the wine, figuratively. It wasn't wine, but it served the purpose of representing to us the blood of Jesus, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. That's amazing, but true. An old story? Ever new. Just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." How can that be and why? I can say his name, but I don't understand how he could be a figure looking forward to and representing my high priest, Jesus. It couldn't be complete without the work of the Lord Jesus. But he had Melchizedek, or I can't even say his name right, went to Abraham. There's been some talk about that. You can look at it if you haven't already in Genesis 14. I encourage you to. And then to follow through and see where he shows up, places like Psalms in particular. And then in this book, many, many places, and I think it's our brother Greg that's going to get to take him up in depth in chapter 7. But we get this function that is a help to us to understand just a little bit of who this Jesus is. Jesus, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. What an amazing thing. Now, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers, and here I think that the voice goes back to being the Lord Jesus, offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his holiness, his piety. Well, to try to explain and say, I understand all of what the Spirit would have for us in this, it would be an empty thing. So I'm not going to try to do that. What I want to do is to just connect this and say, in this early part, we have us being drawn to Jesus, to this throne of grace, because Jesus not only went to the cross in his humanity, he died and raised from the dead and went forward into the heaven, the holiest of all, into the Father's presence. Amazing pity, grace unknown, love beyond degree, to use the poet's words. And it's only by his grace that you and I have hope. So then, we have Christ as the high priesthood, which is better than Aaron. It is better than the Mosaic law priest. Christ in his high priesthood is like this Melchizedek. And then, as we have that, and there's more about him later, as I've mentioned, but the Lord Jesus experienced the human pain and suffering. Now, there are things I suffer because of my sin. I suffer because I make bad choices in this life. But eternity is sure, because God has done a work through Jesus, and that is a completed work. Now, with that having been said, we have the start of a parenthesis, which I think Brother Jim will take up next week, but that is about our need to not degenerate into that abyss, as it were, of saying, no, I'm not going to follow what Christ has done, has said, has taught. I want to kind of do things my way. And we know that Christians have done in the past. In 1 Corinthians 3, I can't quote it, but I just want to refer to it and to say in the first few verses there, we find the Apostle Paul taking the Corinthians to task for the fact that they had begun to set up their favorite teachers. That's dangerous ground. Very dangerous ground. And it led to problems in Corinth. And he said, because of that, I can't progress in teaching you more about Jesus. Because you're looking at your leaders instead of realizing you don't go through them to come to me. You have a direct line. A direct line to God's ear, because Jesus is at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you and for me. And he's left us with some tools, one of which is his word. And the other has to do with our letting go of self and embracing him for who he is, and of growing up in that faith, and to get hold of the essence of what solid food is spiritually, which is a term used in the last verse of this passage. I'm not going to read the rest of it. I'll leave that for you to pick up and fill in places. But it is an amazing thing to realize that God has not done just a piece of a work, but he's done a complete work in the Lord Jesus. But he's not through with us. Jesus continues to intercede for us, and he's soon coming to take charge, as we talked about earlier. But it's by the grace of God that we do live and move and have our being. And we find that we should be lifted up and carried in our walk before the world in the arms of our Lord Jesus. He's the one that lives and moves and is in charge of our being. And as I said, he's provided his word, and he has provided Jesus' intercession. And I'm not meaning to disregard what many teach about the Holy Spirit, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did. And he is given the responsibility of moving our hearts, of drawing us to him, and causing us to have an appetite to grow and not just to be happy with the milk of the simple gospel. Now, the last thing I want to do is give any idea that the simple gospel is not important, because it is. It has to be part of what we're expressing, of what our lives are. It's only in him. And so we could have more details maybe, but to me, this is the essence of what we have here in this chapter. There is a, the example that we have in Aaron was not perfect. What we have in the Lord Jesus is perfect. And even though the work of redemption is complete, the work of keeping us day by day requires an intermediary. And that's where Jesus is, at God's right hand. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of Scripture. We thank you for the privilege that we've had to consider him who has completed a work. And we thank you, our God, that it is your intent to put him in charge, as he has, at that point, will indeed give over the kingdom to you, our Father. But to him, your Son, our Lord Jesus, be all the glory and the praise. And we ask your help and blessing for us as we sort out some of the amazing truths you have here in this book, this letter. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.